Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I was thinking about the podcast that we're about to record.
Oh, with Jamie Morton?
Yeah, with Jamie Morton, buddy.
From My Dad Wrote a Porno.
Yeah, that's why I was laughing at the thought of like his podcast that made me chuckle all the way through the past years. And now he's finally on our podcast.
He's been an inspiration to us.
Yeah, he has. He's been an inspiration to us, man. And do you know what? What a lovely, lovely, lovely man.
What a lovely man.
What a lovely man. Today's podcast was fabulous, everyone. We got to speak with Jamie Morton. What a really great guy. Inspiration to us. He created the podcast, My Dad Wrote a Porno, after his dad sent him his erotic novel he had written.
Hey, look. We'll let him tell you the story.
Yeah, we'll let him. He had over 180 million downloads so far. One of the biggest podcasts in the world. They've done a world tour. Holy smokes. Here he is, Francis.
Here he is, Jamie Morton.
On
Private Parts.
Enjoy.
You're ready. Oh my God, this is so professional.
There we go.
It's worrying.
Do you not clap on your one?
No, we don't film it.
You do not? Why don't you film it?
Because I do a podcast.
Yeah, but hey, welcome to the 21st century.
Yeah, the future is film.
We'll go with that, yeah.
It is, right. Hey, do you know what else is about the 21st century is the fact that you drink matcha, don't you?
Yeah.
You drink matcha.
Yeah, in fact, I talk about it in my diary today.
Do you? Do you know what? I don't drink coffee because I've tried to drink coffee and...
Well, matcha is not really coffee, is it?
Yeah, matcha is coffee.
No, matcha is tea.
But that's just the same thing. You have like a matcha coffee. You don't go. You don't have a tea.
No, they call it a matcha latte, but it's got no coffee in it. Latte is actually a milky coffee, right? So instead of the coffee, you have a matcha latte rather than a coffee latte.
Jamie, do you drink matcha?
I have no idea what you're both talking about.
Yes, you do. You
know, I mean, I have got a coffee here, and seeing as you're slagging off coffee, I feel bad.
I know.
About
do you know what? I drink coffee every morning.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So your matcha's just what, like a little chaser?
Matcha,
cool. We're in a proper booth. You've got like headphones. It's far too professional for me. You're drinking this drink.
Matcha is tea. Okay, so I don't want to give away my diary.
Don't give away your diary. Yeah, hey, please, don't do it, Francis. We're going to be just a bated breath.
We have to get people to listen to the next half of the podcast.
Exactly.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate and sordid details of our lives. Now, today, we have a very important guest, a superstar, someone who I think Francis and I very much look up to. And just...
Podspiration.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
No. This is... I think when I started the podcast with Francis, I think you were my ultimate guest. And now I have you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And now I have you.
Oh,
I have you here. Sounds a bit creepy that I said
it. Doesn't it?
Jamie Morton, everybody. Hello, Jamie.
Hi.
Jamie, so we should probably say that you are most known for the ultimate podcast in the world, My Dad Wrote a Porno.
I'd say only known for that. I don't think I have any other claim to fame, but yes, my dad writes shit porn, and that's why I'm here. And it's nice to be here.
It's not shit porn, though, is it?
Okay. No, there isn't any scat, no. Not as of yet. We'll see. We'll see how these books progress.
It's a matter of time. I mean, it's a race to the bottom.
I am, if you will. Yeah, I am worried about it. But no, yeah, thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks. Hey, can I ask you something? Are you a spiritual? Do you feel like moons and things like that mean something?
What?
Wow, okay, it's going straight into the deep and meaningful section of the podcast. No.
Because I feel, well, listen, I'm telling you guys.
What do you mean? Are you asking if he believes in astrology?
Well, maybe it is astrology, but I'm telling you what, Mercury's moon is all out of sync right now. Or Mercury, the planet. Yeah, apparently it's out of sync. This is why I feel like everyone's feeling a bit like on edge and everyone's feeling a bit funky. It's because of Mercury.
Oh, and really? That's why I'm here on your podcast.
That's why you're here.
Mercury's doing crazy shit.
Yeah, Mercury's doing crazy shit. So suddenly you're like, you know what? I'm going to come do this podcast. but you've listened to my podcast and Francis' podcast, haven't you?
Yes, both of your podcasts.
Yeah, you listen to our podcast. And,
I do.
We're huge fans of yours as well, which is just
like... Oh, thanks.
I mean, I feel like this is like a podcast off right now.
Yeah, it's like a love-in. Yeah. No, I think it's good to like
podcasting.
Support other podcasts. Yeah, I think it's nice.
But when you started, because your podcast started in 2015, I mean, that wasn't when they were that popular.
No,
like,
no one really knew
about them. So what gave you the inspiration to kind of go, right, I'm going to go and do this and start my own podcast?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, to be honest with you, it was just purely because it was porn. Mm-hmm. So we were like, we want to do something with it, but you couldn't really act it out or like film it or anything. So we thought, well, let's just record it. And people have to, you know, admit that they're listening to it on the tube or whatever. So we thought it'd be a good way to kind of stealthily inject pornography into people's commute.
So do you think that it turns people on?
I can categorically say yes.
Yeah.
Many people.
No, you're lying.
Do you think people
on the Northern Line? No, of course not. It's not at all sexy. That's kind of the point, you know.
So when he's writing it, is it more for him that he writes it?
Well, I mean, it kind of had to be because when he first wrote these, you know, no one was ever going to read them. I think he'd sold 3 e-books by the time we started the podcast. He's now sold 5. So you can see how...
the growth is
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Other business models really are enhanced by a podcast. So he very much wrote it for himself, I think.
Yeah.
But Jamie, it's interesting. Yeah. I want to start from like the very beginning, right? So where did you grow up and how did your dad come to the fact that you started writing porn? What was your childhood like?
Really normal, very nice, Manchester, South Manchester.
Oh, that's what you
can probably
Mancha.
Tell from my accent, yeah.
I can do it as well. Manchester?
Manchester, mate, yeah.
Manchester, mate, it's more like that. They talk like that, Francis, Manchester?
They don't talk like that.
They do, Jamie, they do. Listen, close your eyes.
Have you ever been to Manchester?
Yeah, close your eyes quickly.
Yeah.
Jamie, how you doing?
What?
Oh my God, I'm home. This is unbelievable.
That's what they sound like.
Where were you from in Manchester?
I'm actually from a little village called Hale in Manchester. So
you hail from here.
I hail from Hale. So I'm sure anyone who's from Manchester will be like, that's not Manchester.
Yeah,
that's
what they
think. Proper Manchester.
Is that Audley Edge? Nice,
no, it's much nicer than Audley Edge.
It's like the
hidden secret.
It's like the Harrogate of Leeds.
Yeah. Just without the Betty's Tea Room. Yeah.
It's what my friend used to do when they were living, so they would live in Pimlico, but they
of
would
course.
Say, but when they were drunk and like at a party, they'd be like, yeah, I live in Victoria, but then when they were just normally like, yeah, I live in Pimlico, and
I love
same
that,
with other
that
people.
One of those is supposed to be bad in this story. Brilliant. Oh my God, it sounds so poor. I live in Victoria. Yeah, it's, you know, those zone one.
Who is this friend of yours?
My friend Jemima, who actually listens to the podcast. But then there was the other time when you say, you know, you either live in Shepherd's Bush or you live in Notting Hill.
Right.
So you probably mixed up. You're like, yeah, I'm from Manchester. But in fact, you're from Hale, which is not in Manchester.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is in Manchester. I just wouldn't say Hale off the bat because no one would have heard of it. I have actually heard of Shepherd's Bush. I probably would have said that if I was from Shepherd's Bush.
Yeah, doesn't make any difference.
I just like fragrantly lie about where I'm from.
I should start changing completely. I should just start saying like Hackney.
Yeah.
Where do you live? Yeah, I live in Hackney.
Where do you live?
Chelsea.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Very convenient. But so you grew up in Manchester, yeah. and then were you always kind of very creative and things like that, or did you kind of grow into that?
No, yeah, very much so. Always wanted to kind of not. Well, the interesting thing about me was that I never wanted to be in any way like fronting anything, which I think is also probably why we did a podcast as well, because I didn't really feel, and still don't particularly feel that comfortable like on stage or in front of cameras. Hello.
He's saying hello to the camera.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Yeah. Because they film this podcast, which obviously renders it not a podcast at all. joking. So I was always really interested in kind of doing stuff, but not really more behind the scenes. So I went to the University of Leeds and got very involved in the student TV
What's
station.
That? Jamie, I was at Leeds.
Really?
Yeah. Wait, did we? I mean,
how old are you?
I'm 30.
I'm 31.
What?
Oh, well, so you're probably there together.
Yeah, we probably
hang out in Tequila or Mint nightclub. Or...
This is saying a lot about Jamie's social life. Tequila and Mint, yes. I was very much an old bar kind of boy. I don't think I was allowed in Tequila. Oh, you had to look a very specific way to get in Tequila.
Yeah, yeah. Really? I didn't.
Yeah.
What way was that?
Just cool.
They had to look like they're from Pimlico, not from Victoria. Don't right.
It's actually so true. It was the poshest.
It really was. I was like, I wasn't going anywhere near that.
It was the poshest night that Leeds has ever done. And yeah. It was just basically every single posh person from Leeds would go to Tequila and you would turn up there and just sort of walk around and just try and kiss everyone. That was the idea.
Right. All of the Rs would just congregate.
And do you know what, Jane? I still to this day, I've been so irritated because there were these things in Leeds called Tequila Boys. And the Tequila Boys were the guys who would...
Weren't you a Tequila Boy?
No, I wasn't.
You screamed Tequila Boy.
You tried to be a Tequila Boy. Yeah, and they turned you down.
They turn me down?
Did they? Oh, mate.
Yeah. Mate, really upset. I got turned down by being a Tequila Boy.
Wait, what would you have to have done?
Yeah, seeing as I never got in there.
Mate, they were so cool. They would just wear T-shirts saying Tequila on them. They would put tequila shots in
girls'
mouths.
Wasn't Andy Jordan a Tequila
Boy? Yeah, Andy Jordan was a Tequila Boy.
And you really wanted?
I didn't want to. I just thought it'd be fun. The only two times I've been rejected. The one time when I went in, someone said, we want to employ you for Abercrombie & Fitch. And they employed me and everyone else was at the front of house and I was put in the stocking room. I wasn't allowed.
I didn't want to say anything, but I was confused that they would have hired
me.
I wasn't allowed
on the floor. I had to use the lift. I wasn't allowed on the shop floor.
Oh my God.
They didn't allow me. And I had to just be in the, and I was just sitting there going, I'm better than this. One day they'll see.
You thought you were going to be one of the models on the...
Yeah, I thought I was going to be the model on the door. Jamie. And then the other one was not being allowed to be a Tequila Boy.
Well, thank you for
that insight. That
was real, you've
are
never
you still
been
dealing with it
rejected other yeah. than those times.
No, a lot of times I got rejected. Actually, Jemima comes into it again. Jemima, who said Pimlico and Victoria, when we were 12 years old, I kissed her and she said she called me a mistake to one of her friends. And we went home and I was with all of my friends.
Was it the kiss or just you in general?
Yeah. I think it was the kiss. Actually, I don't know.
He's clearly a mistake.
Yeah.
Just ask his mum.
But I went back to my house with all of my friends and they all had such a fun time. We had a big party and they were trying to make toast and I got the loaf of bread and threw it in the sink and ran the water so they couldn't eat it because I was so furious. I was like, well, if I'm going to feel pain, so are you. You're not allowed to eat toast because I was so bitter.
Oh my God.
But everyone's felt rejection. Surely, Jay, you must have felt rejection at some time.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's the point. Like,
and I think that's what's great about university, Tequila or not. You know, you really get to hone those rejection skills pretty well.
So did you ever try and get into Tequila?
I did once, actually, yeah.
Oh, really?
I got as far as the talks and they said, no, come in.
What did they say? They went, look... You don't look rich enough. You're not allowed in here.
They said it in those
how long
specific
is your driveway?
Words.
And you went, wait, but I'm from Hale.
Exactly. I was like, look, for the north, I'm actually really posh, guys.
Did you like Leeds? How come you chose...
I fucking loved Leeds.
Yeah, it was so great, God, wasn't it? Yeah. How come you chose Leeds, though? If you were you grew up in Manchester, how come you didn't decide to go something like really south or something like that? Why did you stick to Leeds?
I don't... Well, just, I guess, because of the course. I
wasn't that's probably a good reason behind
geography
it.
Geography wasn't really my main...
What did you study there?
I actually studied cinema.
Ah.
Which is a real degree. Don't do that. Cool. Yeah.
No,
it's
like,
very theory based. I can tell you all about you know, German expressionist cinema from the 1930s, which I actually probably couldn't do. So,
Jamie, that was the biggest annoying thing about, because I did theatre and performance, and it was.
Were
you at that random place? Like,
yeah, no, I didn't go to the random place.
Where was that place? There was a kind of other campus that was not in Leeds at all. I mean, it might have been in Harrogate.
Wait, is that where we went? We went to the when we walked around.
No, so
what was
so,
it called? Like,
not Babington. Babington House. That's where all the thespians went. No, what they did at Leeds very weirdly is that for years and years and years, and it was the year that I arrived, they changed it. If you were in the first year studying theatre and performance, you would go to a separate house and live there, which was like 20... It was
miles away.
It was in Bradford or
oh, is that what it was? Yeah,
yeah,
it wasn't Leeds.
It wasn't Leeds, and you would stay there as a theatre student, and you would live your whole year in like a community just
in
doing...
Bradford.
Yeah, well, just in a lovely...
They wanted to keep all the theatre geeks away from everybody else, including people who just live in Leeds.
Yeah, we're just like, no, but we want to be thespians. Let's just have the best time ever.
And so you had the option to do that, but...
No, so then it changed the year that I arrived because people realised that it was mental to do
so
that.
So weird. Because this whole other, like, cult that was really? Out of town, yeah.
Because then you would come back into Leeds University and they'd be like, well, I don't want to speak to anyone because I don't know anyone. It was like a really weird transition.
Imagine how different you'd have been if they hadn't changed that.
I think it would have been the
same. You'd have basically gone to Bradford University.
Mm. Mm. But Jay, were you one of these guys, were you nervous to go to university, or were you quite kind of open and quite excited?
I couldn't wait. I was really excited. And I kind of went with a very kind of specific attitude of I wanted to do loads of different things. And I joined the student TV station, which is really geeky.
Very Greg James of you.
Yeah, well, yeah, interesting, yeah. Because actually that's where I met Alice Levine and James Cooper and all of my...
Who are
my co-hosts of My Direct Porno, exactly. And everyone who kind of worked there or did the student TV station went all got jobs in TV. And then when they graduated, got jobs. And then when we graduated, they gave us all jobs in TV. So it was the best way to kind of like... inject yourself into the media industry without actually having any qualifications at all.
Yeah, but how did you know that's what you wanted? I feel like in life, right at the moment, no one has any clue what they want to do, right? Everyone just goes, oh, and there's pressures that we have at the moment to succeed, right? Everyone wants to succeed, but no one actually knows what they want to succeed in. Those days of going, I want to be an architect, or I want to be this or that, have kind of slightly...
I think there are people training to be an architect.
Yeah. There are a few doctors out there.
No, you know what? There aren't, okay? And it's a real problem that we're facing. At the moment, everyone wants to be an influencer and everyone wants to be on YouTube. And
sure, but do they actually really?
Yes.
Do you not think that's just kind of like there's a very specific group of people in the world that want that, but
sad
they always want
wankers.
Something. Twats, essentially.
But you always knew that you wanted to do television and you wanted to...
Not TV specifically, but yeah, like just something in the creative industry, like film or TV or podcasting, anything really.
Yeah, like but podcast, this is a... Because was it your love of films? Did you just have a fascination with that kind of like cinematic side of things, or was it just the creativity of it all?
Yeah, well, I just like creating worlds and like, you know, telling stories and things, which is the best way to... communicate your creative...
What's your favourite film?
I knew you
He comes in with
that.
A big question. So he's straight in there.
I don't have a favourite film.
What's your... What film do you...
Who actually has the next a favourite film?
What yeah,
film,
I do.
What
I
film do.
Do
you really what's like?
I really like The Graduate.
I know what you'll really like.
Goodfellas is a great movie.
The Breakfast Club. That's your favourite.
No, actually.
I'll guess your next favourite. Okay, this is actually your favourite. Your favourite is... Your favourite is... Jamie Morton's favourite movie, quoted by him, is RoboCop.
That's up there.
Is it?
No, of course it's not. I studied cinema. Yeah, RoboCop was my inspiration for going to university and pursuing a career in the arts. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But you're also incredibly funny and charismatic and these kind of things. So what comedies did you like? Because you must have loved comedy.
Okay, another thing. I actually don't particularly like comedy.
I know.
And I'm not really...
Yeah, you do, Jamie.
No, I don't. And I also don't really watch comedy. I don't...
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't. I was listening to your Jack Whitehall when it went out ages ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's so funny because I knew who he was, but I'd never, because I realized I'd never actually watched any of his stuff, and he was really funny. But and I thought about it, I was like, why haven't I ever seen anything? Because I don't watch comedy. So the fact that I do a comedy podcast is a little bit of a,
yeah, but maybe
a surprise to me.
Did you, Frost, did you watch comedy growing up?
I've been obsessed with comedy since as long as I can remember.
Well, how long
well,
did
like,
you remember?
Well, like when I was at school, I just watched YouTube videos of
really
American comedians, yeah.
Okay.
Stand-up comedians, yeah.
Is that what you did?
Yeah.
That's wicked.
Yeah. I've always loved comedy.
Because I think, so you were never like a big, you were never like, because I think with, you know, apart from Gervais's podcast, which, you know,
yeah,
his one, which was just so funny.
I mean, I do watch comedy. I do like The Office and stuff. Like,
yeah.
There is stuff that I have seen. I'm not some sort of like.
It's some sort of weird guy.
Just hermit who just.
I just like dark things. I just want to watch things which are really dark. But, you know, you had Gervais's podcast with Stephen Merchant and Carl Pinkleton, which was like kind of the beginning of sort of podcast comedy, and I would then say you had like Buxton and things like that, but I think My Dad Wrote a Porno was kind of that sort of, it's the iconic one that to go in there and really sort of command that area of comedy and sort of that category.
It was sort of the one that everyone was talking about after Serial, because everyone was talking about Serial, and then it's like, have you listened to My Dad Wrote a Porno? And then that became the thing that everyone was talking about.
Yeah. When people started talking about Serial, I actually thought they were talking about Serial.
Special K.
Yeah, I was like, why is that so... And it was also the same time when I heard about it, when they opened up that cereal shop in East London, you know, which you would just go and eat cereal. And I was like, why is everyone obsessed with cereal?
Cereal is taking over. We should be worried.
But yours was kind of thing. And I think, you know, and I don't particularly want to focus on the podcast so much, but when did you start to realize that it was becoming this juggernaut that was going forward, or it started to pick up traction?
Do you know what? It was quite early on, actually. I think episode 3 was when Elijah Wood tweeted about it and was like, oh, everyone's got to listen to this thing, it's hilarious.
Frodo,
I know. Or as my dad said, Bilbo. had no idea who he was at all. I think he thought it was Gimli, actually, at one point. And I was like, that's cool. And then it kind of... you know, reached his head of steam, which was really lovely and very surprising. Because when you do a show, when you make anything, you don't really expect or think people are going to listen to it, but particularly pornography.
You hope people are going to listen to it, right?
Of course you do. But for me, it was always like, I think this is a really funny thing. And I was really proud of the show that we've made. And if, you know, 10 people listen to it, I'd still make it because I just found it funny. And same as James Ellis. But then when people start listening to it en masse, you realise, oh, fuck, yeah, people are actually listening to it, especially in different countries and... people like contacting us from Saudi Arabia and the Vatican City.
But it's interesting because, you know, and that's such a good life lesson you just gave there, which is so true, is that people follow that sort of idea of
following success, right? And going down the road of going, oh, I have to do this because it's going to make me rich and famous. And in fact, that just makes you sad. But what you did is, which is so true there, you just made it because you thought it was funny yourself.
Yeah.
And if 10 people listen to it, then that's great. And that's the true kind of creator and producer and person within you doing that kind of thing. So it must be so great to make something that you actually love and then it becomes popular as well.
Yeah, it definitely means more. I mean, to think that, if we'd have kind of cynically been like, okay,
how are we going to make loads of money?
Because a lot of people ask me, like, so tell me everything that's made my dad wrote a porno success. And I'm like, well, that's completely irrelevant. That you don't need to know that. You just need to know what show you want to make. And I know that sounds really annoying and trite, but it is actually true because I made so much shit before porno that no one engaged with or watched.
That's what I was going to ask.
Read or anything.
What did you do before? Because I guess if you started 4 years ago, 5 years.
Four years ago.
From the period of you leaving Leeds, what did you do? What was your career trajectory to?
Because I met you, Jamie, at the Close Show.
Charlotte.
That's the first time. And you were shooting Charlotte's kind of YouTube channel like that.
That was so fun. I'll see her in a couple of weeks. Actually,
she's great.
She's great.
She's Charlotte. Great. Charlotte Crosby.
She was amazing. She like took me to Australia and New Zealand.
Was this all before?
Not on holiday, to work very, very hard.
Was this all before the podcast?
Yeah. So I mean, I've done loads of stuff.
But it wasn't quite, sorry to cut you off, but it wasn't because I remember speaking to you. And
it was work, Jamie.
Yeah, we were talking to each other. And we went to this thing called Close Show, which was a...
what was it?
I just don't know. But it was...
What were you doing there as well?
Oh, just validating myself. That's all it was. And Jamie and I met each other then. And you were, as I said, you were filming Charlotte's YouTube channel. And we got chatting. I said, what do you do? And you said, oh, well, I have a podcast and I do this. And I went, oh, what podcast? I was like, podcast?
What a twat. But literally, please listen to me.
No, you didn't. You said it so casually. You just said, oh, I do this and I do that and I have a podcast and things like that. And I went, oh, don't worry, the voice. Oh, it's called My Dad Wrote a Porn. You said that to me, and I went, what a silly name.
You just walked away.
Yeah. What an idiot. And I went, oh, how's it doing? You went, it's doing pretty good. Yeah, it's doing all right. And you were so offhanded about that. I was like, should we really? And then I went and checked out. I was like, oh, okay. And now I know, because my brother was then talking about it that Christmas, about how popular it was and how much he loved it. And you have this now iconic, like Rocky, it's like a Rocky Horror Show following.
It is, it's become like that. Which is interesting, seeing as it is Rocky's Horror. My dad's pen name is Rocky Flintstone, in case people don't know. Rocky's Horror has become a Rocky Horror type obsession with people. Yeah, people come dressed up to our shows and it's amazing. They're so great.
Sort of fan art and stuff.
Yeah. People are really invested. It's wonderful, actually. Wow.
Because they really do. But then, so you came out of Leeds, you're doing all these different things. You knew you wanted to go into television or just do something about the creative side. And what was your first job when you came out of university?
Okay, it's a weird one.
Did you come straight to London? Were you like...
Yes, I did,
big city, the lights, see
you
later.
I came with a suitcase, Jamie. A suitcase and a dream.
A little lad from hell.
And a lot of contacts I'd made at university, thank you very much. The first job that I got actually was with James and Alice, bizarrely. They...
And you guys are best friends at Leeds.
Yeah, so we were mates at Leeds and best friends. God, we're not three.
Sorry.
France is my best friend.
So is he? Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Am I yours?
What?
So you came to London.
Yeah, so and then the three of us just by chance got a job. Do you remember Bebo?
Yeah.
Social network that
loved
was.
Loved Bebo.
Yeah. Do you remember it, Jamie?
Yeah, I did. Do you know what I was thinking about this? Do you know what my status on Bebo was? Live fast, die young, which is the most ridiculous piece of information and quote that anyone should ever live by. So James Dean.
It's quite fitting for you.
Yeah. Live fast, die young. No, live super slow and grow old. Like, what is the point? Why? And then by the time I'm 30, I'm like, oh, should have died by now. So I'm really...
Delete that account. No longer an accurate representation of my life. So Bebo was a thing. And we made a show on Bebo. They made they were quite ahead of their time, actually, in that they made video content. And it was a show called A Message from Earth, where we gathered pictures from Bebo users around the globe and then traveled to Ukraine to the International Space Center and sent these messages into space to the nearest planet that that could conceivably hold life, which was called Gliese 581c.
They must be so confused.
Honestly, and it was like the summer of 2008. So every picture was like George Sampson, because he just won like
Britain's All Time.
So I was like, if this really does go to aliens, I think that George Sampson is like the king of Earth. And like Cheryl Cole and like all these random, really specific things from that summer. But yeah, we went to Ukraine, which was depressing. A place called Evpatoria, which is Crimea, actually. So it's really
Why did you pick Ukraine? Why?
Because they were the only space center that would let us do such a stupid thing.
That thought you were that crazy. Yeah. We want to fire
We want to use your massive telescope to beam binary images into space. Yeah.
And they were like, who are you? Like George Sampson.
George Sampson.
Cheryl Cole.
Did you put a picture of you in there?
I didn't, annoyingly. No. I don't think I entered the competition.
But what was the, because with every show you need to have a story, right? So what was the ending story of that show?
The ending story was, in 55 years, once the messages have reached Gliese 581c, we're going to come back and see if they respond. So we have some time to go still. Maybe we do like a special podcast when we're like 75. Be like, so the messages have arrived and nothing.
But that's,
but it's a weird first job. But it was fun.
But Bebo was really ahead of its time. I remember
it. Yeah.
But Bebo was the original Facebook, right? So it was connected.
And they did like little dramas on there. Yeah, MySpace as well was around, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they had like little dramas, and then after huge success of Measures from Earth, we went and made a kind of magazine show called Bebox on Bebo, and then Bebo folded. No kind of comment on our content that we made for them, but it was packed up and sold by AOL.
You made all the content. They were like, you know what, we're gonna pack it in now. I think we've spent all of our money on this stupid telescope and we have to wait 55 years.
They'd like commission a second series. They were like, either we can honour this commitment to do a second series or we just close down the whole social network. We'll just close it.
So you, Alison and James, were working together. And then did you kind of form this group that you kept working together in different things?
Well, we'd always made stuff together. So that was kind of the big thing of doing student TV.
So you guys were best friends?
We were best friends. Best friends.
Good.
And
it's really nice when you have best friends.
Isn't it?
Because you can just speak to them every day and go, God, you just are my best friend.
So we were best friends at Leeds. We're still best friends now. So we'd made stuff together at uni for free. So we were like actually making stuff for free. We were always doing anyway. So it was great that we were being paid to do the Bebo stuff, but we just continued to make like stupid little sketches. I also have a writing partner that I write more serious stuff with.
Like what kind of stuff?
Kind of.
There's another question right in there. He goes in with the real deep ones.
I'm actually writing a thing about football at the minute, which is really cool.
It's very serious.
It's like a drama.
Just quickly before, what kind of roles?
I'm just multi-talented.
Sounds like it.
What kind of roles are you looking for at the moment for that new show?
I'm looking for someone who couldn't quite make it as a tequila boy. I don't know if you know anybody who could fit that bill.
Well, I'm just
sprightly.
I'm just
very blonde.
That's a very specific casting type.
You're
angling for a role. I can just see itching.
I'm not angling for a role. I'm just saying that, look, some people in life need to be given a chance.
Okay.
And
I think you've been given many.
Nah, I haven't. I grew up under bridges.
I grew up just outside Victoria. It was really hard.
You grew up jerking off punks under bridges.
But I feel like, you know, you could give me a role in, because I feel like it's a new Green Street that you're making, isn't it?
Kind of.
There you go.
What you could do is you could have a role in the Belinda Blink movie if you want.
Are you serious?
Okay, thanks.
No, you
take it.
No, you're not just taking my role.
What?
You're not taking my role.
There's only room for one of us in this.
No, you don't. Listen. I feel like I should be in one of your dramas.
Okay. No.
I should be.
Actually, can you get your dad to write Jamie into your porn?
Oh, don't. He will listen to this and he will write. He writes every single footnotes guest we've ever had on the show, because we have guests that come on the show a bit like this. He's always been like, so I'm thinking of maybe writing them into the story in some way. And I'm like, oh, please don't. So
he doesn't, like book 85,
they'll be like, Emma Thompson pops in for tea with Belinda.
Just name dropping.
Sorry. Emma Thompson.
Well, we've had
or Dame M, as I call her.
Well, we've had Ollie Proudlock, so there you go.
There you go.
There you go.
And I hear that between them, they have two Oscars. Amazing.
I just feel like you should give me a role. I can role play right now. If you want me to be give me one of your characters in the show. Just quickly go.
In what show?
In the football show. Go on.
Well, it's
just give me one.
Wow, go I can't. On. It really isn't at the point.
Is he tough? Is he not tough?
He is. There's a guy called Sam. Actually, you could play Sam.
And what? And Sam's how old?
He's about your age.
22. Perfect. Fine.
And he goes and plays.
He never made it as a football player.
He didn't. He always wanted to. Yeah. He just hangs out at clothes shows.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I've got it. So Sam, 22 years old. He wants to be a footballer.
No, he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to be a footballer.
No, he can't be. That dream is.
Okay, fine. Sam.
He's too old. He can't.
Sam, 22 years old, from Hale.
From Hale.
And he has aspirations to be a footballer.
Sure, we'll go with that. There you go.
But he's getting on a bit.
I'm sure. Yeah. This show is going to do so well. I can see it now.
Yeah. Right, Jamie. On that note, we've got to have the question of the week. So, Francis, please let's have the question of the week. Okay.
What is the most searched porn term?
Oh, that's a good question.
Good one. Jamie is the guest.
I think we had John Ronson on our show, who has done a lot of research into like porn and stuff. So I think it's something like stepmom.
Stepmom.
Or something. Apparently like things that are really popular are kind of incestual things.
Oh yeah,
very big in the porn world.
Okay, so popular. Then I would think it would be glory hole.
Is that what you search?
Okay. I don't search that.
I would imagine it to be niche, but maybe not. We'll find out.
I don't search. I'm just saying
that's you're just projecting.
No, I'm not projecting. I'm just saying that if I was,
well, everyone must search glory hole.
I'm going for glory hole.
Glory hole.
Okay. Yeah.
Jamie, you're going for
stepmom.
Stepmom.
Or like some sort of like stepsister or about that's from my
it's
limited.
Very revealing, Jamie.
No, we're just this is what we're just both going on our own searches.
Mine is
Jamie's like glory hole. Yeah. Absolutely, definitely glory hole.
Well, it has to be glory hole, obviously.
Stepsister glory hole.
What is it? I haven't. Well, hang on. What would you have said?
Oh yeah, Francis.
I know the answer.
But what would you have said?
What would I have said?
That was a harmony there, Jamie.
Yeah, I know. Told you, man. This way we should be writing dramas and doing everything together.
But he's your best friend.
No, I don't care.
I'm your best friend now.
You are.
I can't really, because I know, so it's hard for me to say.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Cut it. Yeah. See you next.
See you for
the next round.
Yeah, see you for the next round. Blow job. That's what you would think.
Yeah. Girls. Naked girls.
Okay, Jamie, what we like to do in the podcast is read a little bit of my diary. So
yes,
I'm going to entertain
you. I've been looking forward to this bit.
And I feel a lot of pressure because, you know, your whole podcast is about reading.
It's me reading,
so
yeah.
I'm going to read this. Saturday. So I don't know if I've told you this before, talking to the listener, not
the diary.
Sure. Well, stop looking at me then.
Sorry, just looking in. I feel like we're best friends, that's why. So I don't know if I told you this before, listener, or you know it already, but I live alone. It's not because I'm a loner or uncool.
That's an unrelated issue.
Happy coincidence.
It's simply because I made the decision to myself. I actually bought the flat underneath one of my best friends, Spencer Matthews, who of course has been on the podcast before, but he moved out as soon as I moved in with his new wife and new baby boy. To be honest, I think it's totally selfish of him and unfair.
That sounded like you moved in with his new wife and his baby
no,
boy.
No, he moved out.
Okay.
To be honest, I think it's totally selfish and unfair of him to do so, to have a kid and wife without warning me, that is. But as life, it is sometimes. So now that I live alone, I do things that alone people do, like laugh to myself while watching TV, or, as I did last night, play catch with myself on the sofa. It's not a metaphor, if you...
Sure.
Yeah. Not playing catch with myself. But today I did one of the most live-alone things you can do, that is buy a printer. After much deliberation with Jakub, who worked there, he also lived alone, so I trusted his judgment on printers, I bought the Canon PIXMA T53150. It was a little on the pricey side, but I was promised by Jakub that the results were well worth it. I gave him a cool high five and took it home, gleaming, almost smug. I opened it, placed it on the ground, and began digesting the instructions like it was a Bronte novel. I came to the conclusion that it shouldn't be that hard.
Is this just a really long sponsor read for this specific brand printer?
No. I'm really salivating over it.
Never seen anyone be so into a printer, my God. What the hell are you printing? Glory holes.
I came to the conclusion that it shouldn't be that hard. Not like the time I ordered IKEA. I ordered IKEA once and it turned out I had to build it yourself.
So I hear.
I didn't realise...
That's kind of their entire business
model. Yeah. It's called flat pack furniture.
I did not realise it. I ordered it to the house and then had to order someone to build it for me.
Oh my God.
And then I just sat and watched him while playing catch. I actually have such a... This is actually true. I have such a weird obsession with people cleaning. I love watching people clean. It really satisfies me.
God, you elitist fucker. Jesus Christ. You build that. I want to watch you fucking clean while I play catch
build
alone.
Build this and then clean that.
No, I really do. For some reason, there's a few things that really satisfy me. Watching people clean and watching people like take photos or looking at art, I get real satisfaction out of it. To the point that when I did this exam at my...
So you're comparing someone cleaning your flat to a work of art.
It's social realism, guys. No,
but it was. I did an exam once for my GCSEs, and we did it in this big exam hall, and the whole roof was glass. And they went, right, everyone begin. As they begun, they had window cleaners start to work on the ceiling, and the glass ceiling. And I went, oh, I'm fucked. And I just sat there watching them for half an hour because I became so obsessed. Failed that exam.
And you got into Leeds. Interesting.
Yeah, BBC went up and pleaded to them and let me in.
Good boy.
Yeah, thank you very much. Now, so I stood up, picked up the... that's it. I came to the conclusion that it shouldn't be that hard, not like the time I ordered IKEA. So I stood up, picking up the printer with me. Now, I still don't know how this happened, but as I walked towards the computer where I was going to place the printer underneath, I slipped on something and began to fall. In the feat of despair to save my beloved printer, I tried to fling it onto the sofa. It hurtled through the air straight towards the safety of the poofs that I had aligned along it. However, it completely missed the sofa and smashed against the wall and me to pass out. So true this. I slipped aside and tried to throw it on the sofa and it smashed on the wall.
So I'm sorry, I actually... your printer.
I smashed my Canon PIXMA T53150, I screamed. What would Jakub say? I fell to my knees trying to piece it together until I caught myself in the mirror and realised, what the fuck am I doing? I'm 30 years old and crying over a printer. The problems of living alone.
I think we can blame that on living alone. The problems of being you, but yeah.
Wait, so how did you print stuff before?
I didn't have one.
Well, who needs to print anything now?
Jamie, listen, I live alone, I have a printer.
But why?
Well, I thought it'd be exciting.
Name me one thing you would print.
I print lots of things, like cinema tickets.
Why?
So I can go to the cinema.
Don't need to print it.
Okay. Do you know what else I print?
What?
Shopping lists.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because I didn't have a pen, so I could print it.
I think you are just printing glory holes.
I do as well.
That's it. What, just pictures of holes? Put it in the game.
So clear.
Oh, God, this turns me on. right, Jamie, that's the end of part one. Will you stick around for part two?
Sure.
Well, you can have to.
You have locked the door, so I guess I have to.
You're going
to
stay there. We'll see you in part two, everybody. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com.
Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.